Would you turn now again to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 17. We'll just read the first two verses of chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, But as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, and so on. Well, we've been looking at lessons from the life of Abraham over the last number of weeks, and it really, in many ways, it is just a cursory look at some of the things that are brought before us, and many lessons that we certainly can learn. We saw last week the attitude of Sarai and Hagar and Abraham, and also the Lord's reaction to how they were as well. And here we are now, and we are told Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years of age. The time is passing. And he had been promised many years before the great promise of a seed. And now, at this age, and yet no sign of the promise of God being fulfilled. And Ishmael by now, as we saw last week, Ishmael came on the scene, born into the world. He's now around 13 years of age. But of course he wasn't the son of promise. Although as we saw in a reading that Abraham seemed to think that must somehow or other, that this would be so, that he would bless Ishmael particularly, and that he would be the one that would be used by the Lord. But that was not the Lord's purpose at this time. And so he had 13 years of age, so he had all these years, and we haven't really told of how Abraham had communion or what kind of communion he had with God in these 13 years. We aren't much told about that at all. Could it be that the Lord had withdrawn, in a sense, at least his presence, he having taken matters into his own hands rather than wait on the Lord? Well, we're not told that, but we certainly are not told that there was anything great encouragement to him or that he was seeking the face of the Lord at all. So now we see then at 99 years of age, the Lord again appeared to Abraham. So let us then consider something of what we have here tonight. First of all, to consider how God names himself in what we have before us here. And then we see a new name for Abraham and Sarai. Now, before the Lord said here in verse 1, walk before me and be thou perfect, and said, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. He first of all makes known how Abraham is to know him, a reminder to him. What is he beginning with? He says, I am the Almighty God. That is what he says first of all. I am the Almighty God. And he uses the name here, Shaddai, the All-Powerful One. It is a reminder, is it not, to him? Whatever else had happened, whatever, he has to remember who God is, the God that had made that promise to him. It is surely saying to him, therefore, nothing is impossible with me. Here later on he's saying, look at my age and all the impossibility of it all. And I think that here, albeit a gentle one, I would suggest to you that there is a mild rebuke even here to Abraham, a reminder to him, and a reminder to Sarai that what they had done in going ahead of the Lord was not to be blessed in the way that they thought it could be. In one sense, I think that we could say that there's a measure of unbelief in what Abraham did at this time with Hagar. Unbelief, we see that later on, even how often it happens, unbelief coming out. The Lord Jesus, remember, taught his disciples, things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And I think there's something of that here in the instance that we have here before us with Abraham and how he is dealing with or had dealt with the matter. And for ourselves, again, a lesson for ourselves. How often we despair at certain things. How often we wonder, how can these things work out? Look at how things are. Look at how things are not. And what is that? Very often, unbelief, especially. How often has it been for yourself and for me? I acknowledge that we have had a promise, as it were, from the Word of God. But it hasn't fitted in with our timetable. And so we begin to wonder, and so we begin to doubt. At one time, we were sure of something, God was going to do something. But just because it hasn't been in our time, that the Lord has held things back. I think I mentioned before, as somebody else had said, we've got to remember always that when we are waiting, God's no's are never negative. God's no's are never negative. There's a reason for all these things. Now, of course, there's a reason here for the time, as we'll see later, the time that all this came about. But we often, friends, is it not true, we often find it difficult to wait on the Lord. Indeed, how often have you yourself at times gone ahead of the Lord? How often have you taken that step with an impatience, really? You may not acknowledge it as such. We may not acknowledge that really we've taken things into our own hands. But if we are honest before God, is that not what we do very often? We go ahead of the Lord. What do? We do things in our own strength. We do things at times according to our own perceived wisdom, so that we think we know best. That's what it comes down to. And we forget. It seems as Abraham might have forgotten here. He says, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty. Don't forget. We have other instances of something like this. The impossibility. Remember, of course, the birth of the Lord Jesus. Think of Mary, Lord's mother. She was reminded of this when she sort of protested in a different way, albeit. How can these things be when I know not a man? What's the answer? With God, nothing, she's told, shall be impossible. And that, friends, also should be an encouragement to ourselves in difficult days. An encouragement to us to remember that. And I think also here there is a further test here for Abraham. 13 years on since Ishmael was born, and that was the only child. Now, the Lord could have performed the miracle of Sarah having a child any time. He could have done that any time. As she saw it, that he had shut up her womb. The Lord had shut up her womb, as we saw before. But the Lord didn't have to. There was a purpose for it. And I wonder, what was the purpose? He made them wait even till they were much older. They were already at the age that was impossible as far as they were concerned. But here is waiting another 13 years. Much, much older. 20 odd years on since the promise was first made. They must have been wondering. And really, friends, maybe you feel I'm too harsh on them, but we should understand how it was getting harder and harder as time went on. And as Sarah got older. But again, it comes back to this. Don't forget, with God nothing shall be impossible. I am the Almighty. And that, friends, for ourselves as well. Let us never forget, He is the Almighty. He is the one who is able to do for us more than we could ever ask or even think. And so we see He names Himself as the Almighty. But also we see that He gave a new name to Abraham as well. Abraham, meaning, if you like, father of many. Different ways of looking at it, but father of many would sum up exactly what his name means. And here he is now. Can you imagine him with a new name? And I imagine those around him, he would have told them what his new name was. And they would know, and maybe much more then in these days, in biblical times more than nowadays, a name has a meaning, it's meaningful. And they would know exactly, somebody called Abraham, that would mean something particular. Can you imagine what others were thinking about this? Knowing what his new name meant. Knowing this for themselves. A father of many nations have I made thee. And they could say, but you're 100 years old nearly. And your wife is 90. Father of many nations. Abraham. Father of many. How can you believe that? But what do we know about his faith? Yes, he had questions as he went on. And he had difficulties at times with things, as we spoke about earlier. But remember what he was told in chapter 15:5. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And we are told again in Romans chapter 4, where we read there as well at verse 19, be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised he was able also to perform. He came to that eventually. Initially, there were doubts and fears, but eventually he came to believe it. And again, friends, for you and I as well, this is for us as well. Oh, how often we doubt things. How often we question things ourselves. But when it comes down to at the end of the day, to whom else can we go? We believe the word. That's what part of being a Christian is, surely. We believe the word of God. And that's a lesson for us. However difficult things may seem, and however sometimes, and yes, we do, if we're honest, we do have questions at times. Why? Why is this, and why is it not like that? But if we have a promise from the Lord, however long it takes, friends, however impossible it looks, believe it. Believe it. According to his word. Where are you going to get the promise? Not just a thought coming into mind from who knows where. The Lord, you hear people saying, oh, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. My friend, unless it's grounded in the word, that's the only place where you can be sure. And the Lord's Spirit applies it to you. It is indeed of the Lord. So here then he is with a new name. And here is one now who has a promise and is now believing it. But also we see that Sarah, now Sarai becomes Sarai. Thy wife shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, give thee a son also of her. So on, verses 15 and 16 there. And the name Sarah is the idea of a princess or a noble woman, somebody, as it were, of some consequence, somebody to be looked up to. No longer, friends, was she, as it were, somebody of no consequence. She was no longer a nobody, an old woman indeed, of no consequence. Even, we know earlier on that she had herself laughed, remember earlier on, and even we read here that part of Abraham's problem was his wife's age. But here she is now, and she's told this again. What an encouragement also for herself to be given that name. And she would know as well what that meant. What an encouragement for her in the midst of all that was going on. A barren woman of 90 years old, now being told by God she's going to be a mother of nations, kings of people, we are told in verse 16, kings of people shall be of her. What a fantastic thing that is, to have that promise. But you see, God is working in it all. And God is being gracious to them all in what he is doing. And so we see them, that they both have new names, and they are very meaningful names. And again, we're just touching on these things. You know these things yourselves anyway. We're touching as we pass by for time's sake. But they're very meaningful names. A change of name has been given to them both. Promise of God. And Christian here tonight, is that not so with yourself? Whatever name you had, whatever, if you like, your birth name, have you not now got another name? You are now Christian. You are a believer. Who has given you that name? It is God himself. It is God himself who has titled you with that name. That is what you are now, as a new creature, as one who is indeed sons and daughters of the living God. This is what happens. What does it happen to the Christian? By the new birth, by the grace of God, suddenly you have been enabled to believe, and you're in a new relationship now. And he sees you as you are, united to Christ. He sees you, as I said, as a son and a daughter, a prince and a princess in Israel. Oh, impossible with you. Impossible for any. But you see, with God, again, it comes back to this, all things are possible with God. How did you become a Christian? Well, I decided one day to become a Christian. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It is of the grace of God. It is not of man. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is all of grace and all of God. And friends, so tonight here you are, with all the troubles at times and many doubts in your life and mine, but here now is a transformation. There's a promise, and the promise is believed. And so we see the God's name for himself, for Abraham to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. And then we see the command then. Having said that, I am the Almighty God, verse 1, walk before me and be thou perfect. The importance of that. Not just knowing that God has worked in your life, but now live it. Live out the life of the Christian. That will be evident that you are such. Oh, be thou perfect. Oh, yeah, you see, God is asking the impossible. Be thou perfect. Well, the word there obviously does not mean totally sinless. The word is actually, there is more to do with upright and morally upright and perfect in that way. In other words, Abraham, live your life now as you ought to. Leave your doubts and fears behind. Continue to live a godly, upright life. And isn't that, friend, what the Bible of Scripture teaches you and I as we go on in our Christian lives? It's an instruction to you and I as well. Indeed, it's not even so much an instruction, it's not a suggestion that we have in these words, but it's an imperative. It is a command that is given here. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What have we got here? Well, Abraham asked to us. He was not just to talk the talk, but he's to walk the walk. And that's so important for us in the day that we live in as much as any other day. To show forth whose we are and whom we seek to serve. That others would see that we have been with Jesus. Friend, are you living your life as I must mine? Are we living our lives so that no one will doubt but we are not of the world? That we are different and that we are seen to be different according to the word of God. Remember, the Lord Jesus reminds others at one point. Many will call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. You see, by their fruits you shall know them, Scripture says. And it is only in that way, whatever we profess and whatever we say, as I've said the last few days, and it doesn't matter even coming to the Lord's table, all of us who are there. It's not that. That is not what makes us Christians. We may profess something with our lips, but our lives should show it, that we are what we profess to be. And this is the imperative command of God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This is what is necessary for us. And Abraham here, if you like, he has been called back to the old path. He is again reminded of his duty to God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. No more doubting. No more questioning God's providence. And you see here, friends, God's long-suffering to him, despite his doing what pleased himself before, with Hagar especially. His long-suffering toward him. But I dare say, friends, that it's not any more long-suffering to him than he is to yourself. Is it not true in your own life that God is long-suffering toward you? We need to keep ourselves, as God enables us, keep our garments unspotted from the world and show by the lives that we are who and what we claim to be. We are to be walk before him and perfect in that sense of the word. Be upright. Be an obvious Christian. Be an obvious follower of the Lord. Friends, let others see that we are such and that we are walking in that way. God's command is clear in this. Then we see, thirdly and finally, the covenant promises in verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now this is not saying any new covenant, but a reminder to Abraham of what God had already covenanted with him. And having established what was already agreed, he also gives the covenant sign that we have here of the circumcision in verse 10. This covenant, importance of covenant, friends, and we believe strongly in covenant, do we not? In what we profess as a church, even ourselves and churches. Covenant, so important for us. Gresham Machen said that the covenant is an expression of God's will, not man's. And man must listen to its terms and order his life accordingly. It's an expression of God's will, not man's will, but man must listen to its terms and order his life accordingly. You see how important that is. And the Lord continues to emphasize that he was the establisher of the covenant, the very thing that Machen was there and many others have said. Have you noticed how often in this chapter, I will is being said? Look at these verses, just quote them. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between you and me. In verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruit. I will make nations of thee. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant. Verse 8, I will give unto thee, and I will be their God. Verse 16, and I will bless her, and I will bless her. Verse 19, I will establish my covenant. Verse 20, I have heard, I have blessed him. And verse 21, my covenant will I establish with Isaac and Sarah, which bear unto the end next year. See the I wills there. What is that emphasizing to? Well, it's not saying he is the God of promise. He is going to do it. He's going to do it. It is his covenant. That should have been a great encouragement, I'm sure it was, to Abraham, as it should be a covenant, great promise to ourselves, an encouragement. You see, where he is involved, where he begins, isn't that what Paul is saying? Remember when he's writing the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is not saying the work that I began in you, but the work that he, God, began will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the covenant promise even. There's a promise in that for ourselves. Abraham had no reason any longer to doubt. After all, he is reminded he is in covenant with who? With the God of the impossible. And are you glad that your God is the God of the impossible? Oh, friends, how we should praise him and thank him for that. He is the God of the impossible. I was reading recently of a Chinese evangelist, and he used to write a lot of letters, but he had headed paper, and he had three verses printed on his letterhead. One was from Joshua 10, the sun stood still. And another quote was 2 Kings 6, the iron did swim. And the third one, Psalm 48, this God is our God. Wonderful thoughts, isn't it? Sun stood still, yeah. The iron did swim, of course. This God is our God who can do these things. Nothing is impossible with him, friends. He is the God of the impossible. I say this to you tonight, encourage yourselves, never doubt it. Never doubt it. And so we see then that Abraham was obedient, and he did what was required often regarding the circumcision of all in his home. And notice as well, friends, that obedience here of Abraham, obedience to the things of God do not precede faith, but follows faith. Follows faith. Well, that is obedience, but that's what the blessing is. It's a man and woman of faith, acting in faith, that then you obey. Obedience surely is part of that. You see, Abraham was already in covenant with God, and he didn't obey regarding circumcision to bring him into the covenant relationship. He was already in covenant with God, because it was God who set out the terms of it. So his circumstances, humanly speaking, were impossible, but we read of Abraham, as we read there in Romans 4, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. And can we see not see that? No, he saw it. He saw it. And you think even, I think it's a wonderful text just comes to mind there, and the Lord Jesus says that Abraham saw his day. Abraham saw his day. That's astonishing. How did Abraham, maybe that's something you can think and talk about yourselves. How did Abraham see his day? I leave that with you, and if I come back in 10 years' time, you probably still won't have worked it out, neither do I. It is there, friends. Abraham saw his day. But the question for you and I tonight is, can I have the faith and obedience of Abraham? And the answer is yes, at least in a measure. You see, faith is faith, albeit the greater the faith, the greater the blessing. Let us all, friends, look to the God of the impossible. And let us go forward. And you yourself are a congregation at this time. However difficult the way seems ahead, however dim your own light seems at a personal level, in your experience at this time, you continue looking unto the God of the impossible, looking to his beloved Son, the author and finisher of our faith. And never forget, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. May he bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, we are thankful that we can come to thee and mystery in thy word, but also enough there for us to understand and to seek to live according to that word. We pray for that grain of faith even that will enable us to be obedient to thy word, whatever thy desire is for us. So continue to bless us, to guide us and direct us and keep us from sin. And the glory shall be thine in Christ. Amen.